minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. The parade for the Nuggets tomorrow, coming up at 10 o'clock, and that's going to be so cool, man. The big thing I'll be watching for is to see what the numbers look like. I mean, how many people are actually going to attend this thing? And I wonder, Angel, if obviously the bad news Monday night with the shootings you heard about, does that deter people?
I think it may have a few, maybe yesterday or the day before. Since the updated report has come out that it was a drug-related incident, it wasn't, you know, some crazy fan just shooting off anything. It was, you know, drugs.
It was a drug deal gone
wrong. Drug deal gone wrong.
Right.
Video came out of, you know, where it happened, and there's like 20, 30 cops just like standing around in this group. And then you see people start running around. All the cops kind of like came together and like, okay, we're going to stand our ground here. And then they figured it out. So glad no one got, you know, severely hurt. Obviously, no deaths or anything. But no, tomorrow should be a time of celebration and joy. And I'm looking forward to seeing just how the team and the players react to their fans and just seeing them like Jamal Murray looking up at the Jumbotron and looking at his fans and telling them to keep cheering. Like, we're going to get all of that for hours on end tomorrow.
And Joker looking, probably checking his watch the whole time, wondering when his
he's going to have
flight's going to
leave. His specially selected Serbian beers. And
yeah.
Jokic will be having fun tomorrow.
I think he will, but it's pretty clear that he is, like, done. He is ready.
He's got a horse race this weekend.
He's ready to get back. Who wouldn't be? I mean, if you're away from your home.
It's like his kids.
But even, yeah, you got to check on them.
Imagine
see
not
doing.
Seeing your pet for nine months.
I don't have a pet.
Well,
I grew up on a farm. So
okay,
they weren't really pets.
You domesticated
Tanner
folks.
Will tell you. It's like, hey, farm.
You have a domesticated pet. Imagine not seeing them for 9 months.
We had a pet for a little bit. We had a dog. And when we were gone on vacation once before my kid was born, we were like missing him. And that was weird for me because I'm, like, again, farm kid. You see your dog outside and you're like, there he is.
Well, dogs have no sense of time. So you were gone for, could have been a day, could have been two minutes.
Who knows? He had no idea when we were coming back. So, yeah, I mean, Joker's heading back and ready. He'll be probably leaving Friday morning, I'm guessing. Get out of Dodge.
On the Kroenke plane.
Yeah. I wonder if they're actually going to do that. They're going to hook him up.
No, I mean, I got to do customs and passports and all that.
Do they have to go to the parade? I'm just asking. You'd be a bad look if you didn't, but I'm just saying, is that part of their contract?
I don't think it'd be a bad look for Joker. It would be completely understandable.
Yeah,
but
people would be sad, though.
As fans, you want to see him there celebrating with the team because everyone came together to win this, but Jokic was the driving force of this championship.
Yeah, he's your celebrity. He's your star. He's the one. I mean, he's beloved. Everybody loves Jamal and Gordon and all these guys, but Joker's the guy.
Imagining him going up for some, you know, speech or something. He's just like, thank you. Goodbye.
I just like what he is like in the ESPN desk there when he's like trying to sort it out in his brain. When is the race?
Friday. No, can't go Friday.
Can't go Friday. I got to get out of here. It's probably like you're at the end.
I want to go home.
It's kind of like, you know, you're at the end of the school year. It's your senior year, and you're like, you've got 2 weeks left or whatever, and you're trying to get out.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
That's how I feel, man, is like, we're the fans that are just following this guy no matter where he goes. Clearly better than, we follow our team better than anybody else in the country. And now it's like, what do we do?
See you in a few months.
I'm watching the Rockies game with my laptop on my lap, doing work. I've got my phone over here, and I'm just kind of glancing up every once in a while, watch the game. My wife's like, you watch Rockies games away. Like, Nuggets games, I've got my, like, it's a recliner chair or whatever, or a couch thing. I got it up, and I'm, like, pulling at the end, probably breaking it, pulling at the end of the footrest. And I'm leaned in like this the whole time.
Are your feet on the rest, or are they off to the sides?
I cross leg there so I can reach over.
So you're going full,
yep,
like kindergarten
style. I found that style worked, and you don't change what works. Now, I used to watch games, and I would always go in the basement in our little man cave that I got carved out. I love our little couch down there. But I made the mistake of watching game one against Minnesota in that spot in the middle floor, and we won. And so I was like, this is it. I'm committing to this. This is the spot. And this is the recliner portion must be up. And I'm going to be leaning. I mean, I sit back a little bit, but I'm leaning in because I'm nervous most of the time. The Rockies, you're not really nervous. It's baseball. You don't get get nervous, but it's not back and forth.
Your head
back and forth,
perks
back and
up
forth.
When the announcers are getting, whoa, here we go. And you're like, wait, what's happening?
Yes, it's exactly right. I had a guy once say, he watches baseball, like, lean back, talking to friends, whatever. Oh, that's cool hit. Yeah, oh, nice strikeout there. Watches basketball and football kind of like intense, and then the other guy's like, you know, I watch hockey and it's like I'm on the edge of my seat the entire time. I can't look away. And I thought that was ridiculous at first. I was like, eh. Every time I watch a hockey game, the second I look away, a score happens. I'm telling you, man. I have that gift for some reason.
For me, it's football, and I have to tell myself to sit down. Like in commercial breaks, like if I'm still standing in a commercial, something's wrong.
First half, I'm not like that. Unless it's like you're already down 14 and now every possession is so crucial. Second half, yeah,
oh,
definitely.
I'm pacing like I'm on the sidelines.
I don't pace in football. I don't pace in basketball until we get to the fourth. Or like I said, if you're down 20 and you're trying to come back in the third, then every possession is now so nerve-wracking because every possession has to count. So that's when. I don't pace. I just lean forward and almost rip the footrest off
just
of
like
the couch.
Grumble to yourself.
Yep. Oh, yeah. My wife's like, I can always tell when things are getting intense because you're very quiet.
Any language?
Not really. Not really. You know, I don't.
You got a kid in the house.
Yeah,
so
he's asleep. I'm not that loud, though. And like when I go to a game, I'm not. Obviously, if you're in the media, if you're in the press box, you can't cheer. It's a rule, no matter who you're covering. But as a fan, if I go to a game, I clap.
It's interesting. When I went to the UNC CU football game a couple years ago, I was just going as a fan, and I was probably more rowdy than I was at a UNC home game.
Do you boo and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I don't do that stuff.
There's something about being the one person in your section, and you're just like, boo, and like I know I'm getting daggers back at me, and someone's getting ready to throw a beer bottle or something. It's just like, yeah, I'm the contrarian in this group.
That was a unique environment when UNC went down to Boulder.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was like the first like full attendance football game.
Was that McCaffrey?
Mm-hmm. That was,
yeah,
McCaffrey's first game.
Because I went there too. And I remember walking to the stadium from the car, and people were like, there was a buzz about the Bears.
It might have started because some CU student, like, I was wearing a UNC shirt, and he was like, oh, like, you guys actually have a chance today. And I was like, bro. Of course, we don't.
See,
and that just ticked me off just a bit. I'm here to have fun, and you just made it worse.
Well, I got the opposite feel. I got like, I must have not been walking next to jerks as much because
I was around the frats
students
and students.
Yeah,
and stuff. I walked.
We're gonna kill you, bro. Who's the name of your starting quarterback? I don't know. Just know that I'm 8 beers in, man, and I'm gonna watch the
cool
bus.
Shirt, bro. You go to UNC? Yeah, I do. And I got my education before you did.
Yeah. Well,
you're probably not gonna graduate, Chad.
It's good to know.
You'll find a keg or something.
So the people I'm walking next to were older, and they were like, you know, my age, a little bit older, whatever. And they're just like, yeah, that UNC thing's really interesting, man. Ed McCaffrey, they might do something around there. So that's the vibe I got, which again makes it even more disappointing that it just didn't work out.
Like at home games, I'm normally more relaxed, and I'll raise my voice when it's frustrating.
How many Ed Lamb football games are you going to go to this year? You going to try to go to all the home games?
I'm going to try to go to a few home games. Depends on the weather and such, but first home game against Incarnate Word.
There you go.
I will be there.
You got the first home game right, but you didn't get the first game right.
Playing Abilene Christian down in Texas.
I feel like we play Abilene Christian like 500 million times.
Well, we're going to beat them this time.
How do you think? I know we're not fully in football mode yet. Are the Bears going to be a good team year one?
I think so. I think the approach to it and the feel around the team, it's not going to be, oh, how bad is this going to be? It's going to be, hey, I think this could be pretty decent. At least in year one.
It's a way different feel. You know how we're talking about Sean Payton and Nathaniel Hackett? This is a way different feel. It's not that Ed McCaffrey was out loud like Hackett and, you know, oh, he was reserved. But it was his presence about him that was big, and Ed Lamb is reserved, but also
But you could tell there was something going on with that team behind the scenes, and obviously we found out later, but there was an air around it that didn't feel complete. And Ed Lamb has brought a whole new personality to that team, and it's the hard work, it's the grit, and it's these guys are working for something, and I'm not gonna doubt you until you show me that the hard work doesn't pay off.
We're talking on some ideas here with Jacob Sermon. Just got a haircut, by the way.
He did. He took the Jokic route.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. He's got perfect hair.
He does have nice hair, but you know, sometimes you need a little change up to just...
Like, he cut it. It's all gone.
He is completely gone.
And he's gone.
He had a nice golden locks of hair.
We're working with him on some ideas coming up this fall, so I'm excited about that. 16 minutes after the hour. Chris Dempsey coming up next on the whole show. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Still celebrating the Denver Nuggets winning their first ever championship. Joining me now, who better to talk to about it all and how it all went down and how it might go down next season, too? Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV and Radio. Chris, my man, listen, a lot of us might have felt like they were going to do it. I was still kind of in this weird sense of shock once it was done, Game 5. It was amazing.
Yeah, it really was. You know, it's funny because prior to that game, after the game, I was saying to Bill Hanslick on our postgame show, I think it was during a break, I said, you know, it's one thing to, like, we knew the Nuggets were going to win this title. Like, they weren't going to, regardless of if they would have lost Game 5, they weren't going to lose three straight times and not win the title. So you knew one of the next three games was going to be the title clincher for the Nuggets. But it's still different actually seeing it happen. You know, it's like, it's one thing to know that you're better than a team or you're the team that you're rooting for is better than the other team. And eventually they're going to get that done. And then it's kind of a total different experience to see it actually unfold on the court. Like, that's your team's players with the shirts that say champions and the hats that say champions and the confetti falling in your arena. And everybody's the smiles are the widest they'll ever be, and it's a surreal experience. We had a Michael Malone on my radio show just a couple of hours ago, actually more like 3.5 hours ago now, and he said that it still hadn't sunk in for him just quite yet, and that he had talked to Avs coach Jared Bednar about when it started to sink in for him, and Bednar said that day was the parade, and so the parade is tomorrow, and so we'll see if it sinks in a little bit more for Coach Malone tomorrow. But it's a different kind of thing, and since it's the first time, it's also like none of us. It's like, what do I do with my hands right now? What do I do with what do I do? My emotions are everywhere, you know.
Yep.
So it's great.
No, I felt the same way, man. You and I've obviously had a relationship for a while now, and I know your coverage of the Nuggets goes way back into the Denver Post days too, and that's where I got to know you, just through the Post and just covering this team for as long as you did. And it's got to be cool because it does feel like it's for everybody. That's these championships, you know. You feel like whether you're a diehard fan or you are a past player, past coach, manager, whatever, or a guy that's been covering this team for quite some time. It's got to feel like you got a piece of it.
Yeah, you do. You know, it's for all those Nuggets fans out there who, you know, just kind of were diehard and lived and died. And even when some of the more casual fans kind of fell off a little bit and thought, well, you know, it's fine. You know, like, they're okay. Or I'm not really into basketball or, you know, all those things. To see all those types of people come into the fold now is a big deal. You know, it is my opinion that this basketball team has always deserved, you know, people's attention and support in this area, in this state. And you know, it hasn't always been the case, and it was up to the Nuggets to really kind of change people's minds, and then to give the real diehard Nuggets fans a chance to really puff their chest out and say, you know what, I stuck with this team when it wasn't fashionable to be a Nuggets fan, when it wasn't cool, when everybody, when most other backs were turned, I never turned mine, and to be able to share that with everybody is amazing, and hopefully, you know, you have a little one. I know I have a six-year-old, and he was dialed in on the Nuggets this year in a way that he never has been before. And so maybe even the creation of new fans, super young fans that will be Nuggets fans for life as well. So I just think it's – when you say it's for everyone, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and our kids, you know, they're spoiled. This early on, they get to see the Nuggets win a title. And, you know, Chris, I was tweeting about this the other day. I was like, man, I remember when I fell in love with this team, it was just because I was coming to games. It was just fun for me. I'm a small farm town kid, so when we would come to Denver to go to games, I was in awe. I didn't care that the Nuggets win or lose. I think that year they won 11 games. I think that was the Hanslick year. And my dad took me there, and I just loved it. I loved everything about it, so it didn't matter to me. And then I fell in love with this team, and then I started to believe that maybe this team could do something when Melo was there. And then obviously with Joker and his growth, you really believed that this team might not only win a title, they might win multiple titles.
Yeah, exactly. And that's Michael Malone believes that, you know, and look, they're young and in their prime, you know, this isn't a team that nabbed a couple of aging superstars and, you know, walked into a title but now what are you going to do next? This team was built a certain way. Those players are still really young players or right just now, you know, scratching the surface of their prime years in the NBA, and you can win with that, and you can win multiple years with that. And then the Western Conference continues to be a wide open conference. Was that, and you know, look, I think some of the brand names that we've known before will fall back to the pack, which they did this year. I mean, Golden State fell back to the pack, and the Lakers fell back to the pack, and you know, Phoenix made the move for Kevin Durant, which kind of boosted them, and so maybe they'll have some staying power here for the next couple of seasons as long as they retool around those guys. But I think some of those brand names and some of those longtime great player names will start to fall back and will start to create new ones. And, you know, it will be the Murrays and the Nikola Jokic's and Sacramento, I think, is a team, you know, the De'Aaron Foxes and the Domantas Sabonises of the world and obviously Memphis as well. So I think we'll get some new teams. We talked about this prior to the playoffs as being maybe the playoffs that we experienced the changing of the guard. Well, the Nuggets are now the champions, and for the first time ever in their history. That is a changing of the guard. And if some of these aging superstars can't quite get themselves back to that level, yes, they'll still be playoff teams and playoff players, but not championship-level players anymore and championship-level teams. It's just going to open the door for the new breed of stars and the new teams to come through. And Michael Malone certainly does think that the Nuggets have more titles in them. I agree with him. And, you know, we'll see starting next season.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude. And Chris, I want to go through the kind of the roster. And this is why another reason I love having you on is you're much smarter than me when it comes to the salary cap situation. And I know teams are over it all the time, but they still figure it out. And you can help us with that. So let's look at the roster. We know Joker's locked up, assuming he doesn't just want to live in Serbia forever. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to turn down in 2027 $62 million. Jamal Murray, Porter. Let me ask you about Jamal Murray. He's got 2 years left on his current contract. Do you see an extension coming this summer with Jamal Murray?
No, maybe not this summer, but certainly next summer.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the way they need to space that out a little bit. And then that's going to be a massive contract, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it'll be massive. And so, yeah, you know, so for Jamal, I think they'll just leave that alone as much as they can right now. Cause I mean, they got their hands full with Bruce Brown and what that
right
may or may not be. And I think they can only offer him the taxpayer mid-level exception. And so that's, it's not a ton more than what he's making per season or with his next, I think he, well, what's next season? Next season would have been...
Is he at 6.8 or something like that? Is that his player option? So,
yeah, 6.8. So,
what can they offer him, Chris?
Yeah, the mid-level taxpayer exception won't allow them to go anything more than like just under 8 per season. Mm. So, so that will be well short of what another team could pay him. He will command double-digit millions of dollars in the offseason, would be my guess. And, you know, but there's other, you know, these situations, I have stopped a long time ago just kind of generalizing about, you know, these types of situations, given the fact that these players are people and they're, you know, they have different motivations and they have, you don't know, you know, kind of what moves them. So obviously, so Mike Singer of the Denver Post caught up with him, and the quotes from Bruce Brown to Singer were, you know, something to the effect of like, money isn't everything, and he felt that they, like, thinks that Denver is a perfect fit and all those things, and that's great when, you know, during the champagne-soaked celebration to say those things, but then a month from now, you know, in a month from now when it's like, here's your actual value on this market and the numbers are real numbers, I mean, you have to sit down and ask yourself, can you leave, let's say, $20 million over there over a four-year span on the table just to stay in Denver? Or will Denver come up, and I'm sure they will, say something to the effect of, well, like, opt in or opt out, and we'll pay you what we can pay you this year, and then extend you in a real way when they have the bird rights and everything that allows them to be able to, in a better financial situation that allows them to be able to really pay him the way he wants to be paid. So, and then if you're Bruce Brown, do you believe that? And are you willing to dice that you might get hurt and now right. You don't have a contract beyond, you know? So, you know, there are so many, see how many variables there are. And in addition to the fact that he really does like it here in Denver, he loves the basketball team, and the city, I think, is a good personality fit for him as well. And the team is a great personality fit for him. You know, the thing about this, the way the Nuggets play basketball is, you know, because their best player is their most unselfish player, and because the ball finds everybody, and because it is a movement based, cutting based, you know, system, you have the opportunity to raise your stats here in a way that you probably can't in some other situations. We saw that. I think we saw that with Will Barton go and not be able to replicate those stats immediately, and then be released by the Washington Wizards. Monte Morris, the same thing. Or we got a KCP to come and go, my goodness, wow, these are the easiest shots that I've ever been able to, that have been generated for me in my career. And it's a real thing here in Denver. And can you continue to have that same success? So, so many things on the table. Bruce Brown would be the top priority, obviously, this year for the Nuggets. And then, you're right. Then you're going to have to start the churn again on Jamal Murray and then Aaron Gordon. And then, I don't know that I would expect Nikola Jokic to last after this contract mm-hmm. is over, but if he does, then you would have to do that one all over again as well. So, you know, what are you looking at? 6 to 8 unit years of many, 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 many millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars going out, and how did the Nuggets manage that?
Well, Chris, so we've talked about this before on this show, the salary cap, and, you know, if you just look at, like, Spot Track, Basketball Reference, whatever, salary cap last year was it, 124, something like that. I don't know. But obviously the Nuggets are over that. Explain to me, like I'm five, and our audience, how does that work? We see it across all sports, really, where here's the salary cap. You're way over it, but you're finagling it. How does that work?
Well, basketball is a little different than, like, the NFL. That's a pretty hard cap. Now, they get around it by just giving you a bunch of guaranteed money so that your actual salary is lower, and that's how they circumvent that. In the NBA, there's a cap, and then there's a luxury tax, and so you can go over the cap and then kind of live in that interim between the cap and the luxury tax level, but then when you go over the luxury tax level, then you're paying dollar for dollar. Every dollar that you're over the tax, you're paying a dollar on top of that. And then if you repeat, then you get a repeater tax. And then that ratio just keeps getting higher and higher and higher until you're paying literally hundreds of millions of dollars like the Golden State Warriors were, which is why you had so much conversation about this being maybe the Draymond Greens last year, because they need to shed so much salary because they're literally paying $300 million in luxury tax bills, and nobody can do that forever, not even these billionaire owners. So the Nuggets are a tax team. They will pay the luxury tax for this season, but that is not a space that they want to live in or even can live in. I mean, you know, the other thing that the NBA does is that if you're over the cap and under the tax, that means you are able to offer, like, your mid-level exceptions are different. There's different levels of exceptions and different types of exceptions as well that you can sign free agents with. It's just not as much as you could do, you could use if you were under the actual cap. So basically, you just got to think of it like this. If you're actually under the actual cap, then you have your cap space to be able to sign players on your to your roster, and you know, hopefully, if you're the Nuggets or any other team, that's a lot of space. If you're over the cap but under the tax, then it gets a lot tougher. And if you're trying to sign free agents, you can only do so with a couple of different exceptions, and those aren't as much as other teams can offer those players. If you're over the luxury tax, then that just gets worse. And you know, not only are you kind of capped out on your roster, and you have to shed some, you know, you have to kind of finagle a way to have 15 players on your roster plus two-way spots, but then there's no way that you can offer anything significant to free agents who you might want on your team, which is where they find themselves with Bruce Brown. Not that both parties aren't, they both would like to stay together, but because the Nuggets are over the actual tax, there is a limit on what you can. Well, and then they don't own his bird rights right now. Just right now, there is a limit as to how much you can offer, even your own free agent, and that's kind of where we are with Bruce Brown. The Milwaukee Bucks went through this with Bobby Portis a few years ago, where they couldn't offer him a ton, and he did in fact stay with them on. Like a 1-year deal or a 2-year, I had to just make sure I double check that, but it was something super short so that they can find it, so that they could sign him, get his bird rights, and then sign him to the big deal, which they did. So, I mean, there is precedent of a player doing that with Bobby Portis and the Milwaukee Bucks. Will Bruce Brown do that with the Nuggets? We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, he's such a difference maker for this team. Okay, Chris, here quickly. I'm just going to go through the roster. Obviously, we know Joker, Murray, Porter, AG, and KCP are good next year. I'm going to go through the rest, and you just tell me what you think will happen in the future. Will Bruce Brown be a Denver Nugget next year?
I will say that less than 50% odds.
Okay. Ish Smith's probably gone, right? He's a free agent.
Probably so, yeah.
Jeff Green, how about Unk? Is he coming back? Is he going to re-sign some kind of deal? Can you afford it? What do you do?
I think Jeff Green, is Jeff Green done?
Maybe I'm wrong here. I'm on Basketball Reference, and I got him as a free agent going into next season.
Yeah, he is done. Yeah, that's a good question. I think that, yes, I'm going to say yes on that. I think he'd play for the vet minimum.
Okay. We know Christian Brown's under his rookie contract. Good there. Zeke Nagy, looks like he's got a team option next year. What do you see there?
I think there's a less than 50% chance for Zeke.
Oh, okay. Chonchar's good. Peyton Watson's on the rookie deal. Thomas Bryant surely is not coming back, Chris.
I would be surprised if that was the case. Yeah.
How about DJ? Obviously, you just love him. You love what he was able to bring as far as being a leader and a great locker room influence. Do they bring him back for that? That would be the only reason, really.
Yeah, I would give that one. He'd play the vet for. I would guess he would play for the vet minimum too. Although his vet minimum is pretty significant because he's been in the league a long time. I'll say yes. Say yes on that because I don't know if they feel like – do you remember Ishmael Kamagate, the player they drafted last year?
What's that, Chris?
Do you remember Ishmael Kamagate last year?
Yeah.
They drafted him. Big man, he could block some shots, but it was super raw. He just, you know, started playing basketball not too long ago. I would love to see them bring him over. I'm not so sure that they're super sold on that right now. If they did that, then that would probably push like a DeAndre Jordan out. But if they didn't, then I would give. You know what? I'm gonna say DJ has a more than 50% chance of coming back.
Okay, and then to wrap that one up, Reggie Jackson. It was cool to see him get it, being a hometown guy. But he's a free agent. Do you see him coming back?
I would say there's less than 50% chance of that too.
Okay, so all that being said, while I have you, Chris. We're going to just assume right now, since you're not extremely confident about Bruce Brown, let's just assume the team's pretty much the same as far as the core, you know, 1 through 7 minus Bruce Brown. What right. is the goal this offseason? Draft, free agency? I mean, you can't really get crazy in free agency. So what do you do? Obviously, replacing Bruce would be first and foremost then, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So, they made a trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder to add a draft pick in this year's draft. So now they that draft is next week, as a matter of fact. It's just what you play so long, all of a sudden you creep up on the draft. Do they draft two players at these spots? They have the 37th pick and the 40th pick. So both of those are second round picks, or do you package the 2 second round picks and try to maybe get into the lower the late first round? If there's a team that's doesn't want to use that late first round pick, so I'm talking about anything between 25 and 30. If whatever those teams are, you can start to look at them and go, okay, is this a team that's maybe stocked full of super young players and they just cannot draft another one, i.e., an Oklahoma City Thunder, or is it a team that so can you package the two, move into the super late first round, and maybe nab a player that you like, or do you draft them both? And hope at least one of them hits. But the Nuggets are going to have to add young talent and inexpensive talent to this roster. So I would expect that something along those lines will happen with those draft picks. Then this will also be an enormous, enormous, enormous summer for Peyton Watson, because I think Peyton Watson is a player that they would love for him to earn minutes next season. We know what he is as a defensive player. He's really, really good on that end. But can his ball handling improve? Can his shooting improve? Can his reading of situations on offense and his decision-making improve to a space where they trust him, where Coach Malone trusts him out there on the court in a significant role on a nightly basis? If he is in the lab and improves those things, I would expect that we'll see Peyton Watson have some sort of a bigger role on this team. And then what role does Colin Crispy play on this team?
Sure,
he broke
his
leg last year and didn't obviously play at all this season, but they certainly do like him, and he's a two-way player already. So can he work his way up and be at least a player that they can put on the court a little bit and maybe even more if they feel like he can be an asset to them. So when you say a player like Ish Smith might not be here, maybe he is replaced by a guy like Colin Gillespie. Maybe they can go outside of the free agency. Can you nab a veteran on a cheap contract that can help and bolster your bench? I still happen to think that they would like to have a scoring player off of their bench. I mean, they completely got away with that this entire playoff season, because they were not hurt in any way, shape, or form by anybody else's bench players. So but do you still want to just add another score, just a guy who can really come out and fill it up, just to make sure that your bench is okay? I think those things would be their priorities. And to do that as obviously as inexpensively as you can.
Yeah, well, there's work to do for the Nuggets for sure, and we'll see how it all plays out. Chris, my man, great catching up with you. Excellent work all year, but really throughout your career covering the Nuggets, man. So much respect for you, and it's an honor for us to get you on the program, man. So we appreciate you, my friend.
No, I really appreciate it, man. It's a lot of fun coming on and talking shop with you. I love it. And hey, look, this is just the beginning. They've got one, and now we'll talk about what the future holds for them, and I look forward to it. So thank you for having me, man, and I'll be back soon.
Dynasty talk now, right, Chris?
Yeah,
we're
right.
Talking dynasty.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right. Chris, come see the new studios, man. We invite you up. We'll take you out to Cables. Angel's buying. He already said it. It's really exciting.
Yeah, I saw some. Well, I saw some of the pictures, man. I love it. I would love to see it. Yeah, I'll come up. Yeah, how about the next time I'll come up and sit in the studio with you,
dude. We'll make a day of it, man. We'll just go all things Nuggets. That'd be awesome. Would love to do that.
Wonderful. Diamond. We'll make it happen.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV and Radio. 44 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. If you missed that conversation with Dempsey, I strongly recommend you go check it out via podcast, available at 1310kfk.com or thewholeshow.com. Doesn't sound too promising about a Bruce Brown return to the Denver Nuggets. I think so, too. I think there's going to be too much money on the table. It's not going to make much sense unless he trusts the organization and then he keeps his player option. And then they pay him next the year after that. But
if not Bruce, Fred Van Fleet.
That's your boy,
huh? That's my pick right now.
You're going with Fred Van Fleet. Okay. Well, let's start breaking into that more on tomorrow's show. What would a life without Bruce Brown look like for the Nuggets? 48 minutes after the hour. What did we learn today? We'll go over that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, I learned a couple of things today. Number one, there's apparently no cell service in Gillette, Wyoming, so couldn't catch up with Mark Johnson fully at that stage. And then the other thing I learned was it's not looking good for Bruce Brown. All the things I talked about the last couple of days sure feels like... it's not going to make sense unless Bruce Brown takes a gamble. But that's it. What'd you learn, Angel?
I learned that there are varying aspects of fandom across different sports, and you can be an overall sports fan, but you may not be a fan of a particular sport. You can be a fan and not a supporter. You can be a supporter or not a fan. But, you know, if your team wins, congrats. If they don't, try again next year.
Try again next year. Well, we'll see. It looks like the Nuggets are the favorite amongst the hooligans to go back and be the next team of the Big Four to go win a title. So let's go do it. You know, you might have to do it without Bruce Brown. You might have to get creative here. The bulk will return. It sounds like Jeff Green and DeAndre Jordan, Dempsey's kind of, maybe. Maybe they come back. It's not like they're going to be that big of a difference if they don't, but they like having their presence there.
You're looking at the youth and the bench of this team to step up.
That's how you keep a championship team intact. You got your core that you've signed long term, and you got to hope that rookies start to make their presence known as the vets continue to grow into their contract. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Looking forward to it. We'll catch you up. We'll talk some CSU tomorrow with our guy Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Maybe some Broncos updates as well. It's been the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Good night, Northern Colorado.